His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Please be seated. So next Sunday, we will not have life groups, but instead we're going to break sausage together, okay? So, Millie, do you have an announcement to make? Please be seated. Bless your heart. Get a little rest here. So next Sunday, we're going to start with breakfast at 9. Want to encourage you to bring all your goodies, especially, obviously, pork products. You know, we believe in the vision of Peter, kill and eat. So I want to encourage you to bring especially links and patties and that type of thing, bacon. Bacon's our reward for loving pigs so much. And also, if you could bring some casseroles, some of you casseroles. And a casserole is not a requirement. But for those of you that are kind of on the top edge of seniorhood, no Jell-O casseroles, okay? This is breakfast. We went over to one of the grandmother's house a few years ago, and we had a kind of an order of one type of Jell-O thing, and then we had for lunch a Jell-O thing and a Jell-O thing, and then for dessert we had a Jell-O thing with whipped cream on it, so... bring some goodies next week, and let's fill the fellowship hall. Invite people to come. It's an opportunity to invite them to come and celebrate with us the resurrection of our Lord, and we're really excited about that. And then I also want to encourage you, we have an Easter egg hunt for the children if you want to invite some young families to come. Our children's ministry will be doing that. And then we've got our First Mondays. We've started First Mondays. It's a men's prayer breakfast at Berry Fresh. We have that tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. It's $10 for breakfast. We worked out such a deal with them. And we're meeting in their little, they've got a little side room there. And want to encourage you to come, guys. We had a wonderful one last month, a good turnout, good discussion, good prayer, a good fellowship. And just come and be a part of that, guys. We'd love to have you. Berry Fresh is on US 1 just south of here, about less than a mile. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in that 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then also, let's see what else we've got. Take a look here. Life groups. Want to encourage you to participate in our life groups. And then if you're our guest today, please fill this out. Place it in the offering plate so you can connect with us. And we would like to get to know more about you. And there's some upcoming events here. There's a spaghetti luncheon coming up. Also, it's for our student ministry. It's a fundraiser. And you say, well, I've got to get out of here that day. Well, you can get it to go. And so I want to encourage you to plan for that and look at that information. God bless you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And we thank you so much for the gift, the supernatural, super abundant, super generous gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving him to us. Thank you for sharing him with us. Thank you, Lord, that through him, all of our sins can be forgiven. Everything in our life can be cleansed because of him and his finished work on the cross. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And as we've been asking, we want to invite you, please, to come and meet with us today. We pray that you'll anoint the choir, the praise teams, John, as he directs. And Lord, just supernaturally allow us to experience your presence today. I pray, Lord, that as they sing, that they would just be filled with your Spirit and worship you. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gorgeous morning, Lord. We want to thank you for all your so many blessings. But most of all, we want to just thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. I want to ask you, please, this morning to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every year at this time of year, we celebrate the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? The resurrection of Christ. Kim and I had the opportunity in 1980 to go to the Garden Tomb and see that cutout notch in the stone there where the Lord Jesus lay. And it's interesting thinking about that. He died on the cross and then he went, as scriptures indicate, if you are a student of the word, he went to paradise. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it said he led captivity captive. He went where all the Old Testament saints were being held in Abraham's bosom and described with Lazarus and the rich man. And he went there, he emptied it out, he had paid the debt, he became the first of the resurrection of the dead and led captivity captive and led them out. And since then, every person that's died, our spirit has left our body and gone immediately into the presence of Christ. And when Kim and I were in that empty tomb, I was trying to imagine the body of the Lord Jesus Christ laying there, the lifeless body of Christ into that notch of stone there, laying there. And as we know, he laid there through the weekend, and then on Sunday morning, God infused him and with literally the radiation power of the Shekinah glory of God, infused the body of Christ, and he placed his soul and spirit back into that body and resurrected it. And eternally, now for 2,000 years, the beginning of eternity, he's been in that body in heaven, that resurrected, glorified body. And it's exciting. In Scripture, it says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just Jesus, for the unjust, you and I, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by God's Spirit." The radiation, Shekinah glory of God, resurrecting Christ from the dead. And beloved, it doesn't matter out of the however many billions there are now, 6 billion, whatever the case might be, it doesn't matter how many of us believe in it or don't believe in it. It is a fact of history. It happened. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And because of that, you and I can have all of our sins forgiven. All. And they paid in full, tetelestai, paid in full. And we can live an abundant life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires to do that in our life. But we have to receive him. It says in Scripture, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So it is not enough for you to sit here today and have the right beliefs in your mind. It is not enough for you to have a pedigree church history. Nick and I were going through a drive-thru this week, and it was one of the smoothie places. And there's a young girl that waited on us. She took our payment and handed us the two drinks, and so I invited her to church. And she said, "Is this a Christian church?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, this is a Jesus church, Jesus all the way. Can I come?" And I said, "You've got to come. And can I bring my nephew?" "You've got to bring your nephew." The resurrection of Christ applying to everybody. The resurrection and living life of Jesus. Jesus alive. Jesus in the church. Jesus in our lives. The living Son of God. And so today I'd like to invite everyone here, as we do every time we meet, every Sunday, I'd like to invite you right now to be sure that you have Jesus, the living Jesus, in your life. The Son of God living in your life, the resurrected Son of God. And so I'd like to invite you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to invite you to invite Him into your heart and life if you haven't already done so, or if you're not sure that He's there. I'd like to invite you right now, and if you could just, in your heart and in your spirit, look up to Him and just say, "Oh, dear Lord, I know You see me, You hear me. I know You're resurrected from the dead. Please forgive all of my sins. Come into my life. Take control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank You for cleansing me. Thank You for forgiving me. And I love You. In Jesus' name, amen." Our choir's just done a wonderful job today. Let's give them a big hand. Praise God. So sweet. And knowing all of them pretty well, they live for Jesus every day. This is not a performance for you. And unlike some churches, none of them are paid for it. They're all giving their time to Jesus to worship Him and praise God for it. And John's done a wonderful job. Let's give John a hand. Amen. And Darren, as an accompanist, I mean, one-handed, I saw him. He was jazzing out and one hand on the piano and playing with one hand. I can't play with both hands and both feet. And he can do it with one hand. But praise God for them, and they're leading us into God's presence today and in worship. And I hope and pray, if you gave your life to Christ, please come see me after the service. If today was your born-again day, if today was your spiritual birthday, please come see me after the service and let me know about that. So we're going to now stand, and the choir is going to lead us in an invitational song together, and let's stand together. Please be seated. Let me give you a few reminders before we leave today. I want to remind you again next Sunday, what time are we meeting for breakfast? 9 o'clock. And we will also need some fruit juices, orange juices, things like that. If you want to bring some of you, could bring some of those. And last year, we just had a glorious time, great fellowship. Fellowship hall full of folks worshiping Jesus and fellowshipping together. And I want to encourage you to do that with us. That'll be in lieu of our life groups next Sunday. And then I want to remind our men about our breakfast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock at Berry Fresh. I invite you to come and take part in that with us. And then again, I want to remind all of you, if you would, just be in prayer. Pray, pray, pray that the Spirit of God would come in a special corporate way and meet with us here and meet with us at First Baptist, as He's doing across the country. And we desperately, desperately, desperately need an awakening. As you know, the corruption is stronger than it's ever been in our lifetime. And we are literally under assault. And I just want to encourage you to pray, and pray for God to meet with us and to pour His Spirit out upon us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
Well, as you know, we've got a new mission statement for our church, a purpose statement, and I want us to rehearse that a couple of times. And today we're going to be looking at connecting lost people to Jesus, which is evangelism. So if you'll look at the top of your notes, and I think it's also on the cover of the cell, I believe. May be wrong. Nope, not on the cover of the cell. Top of your notes, connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. We're going to say that together a couple of times. On the count of three. One, two, three. Connecting. Excellent. That was very good. Let's try it one more time. Connecting. Amen. So today, let's look at this. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. About half of the epistle of 1 John has a lot to do with love, has a lot to do with the power of love. A lot of times we're fearful in reaching out to people and trying to touch other lives. And actually, the love of God in this epistle deals with that and says that perfect love casts out all fear. Because the fear has with it the idea of punishment. And when we actually love and supernaturally love and allow God's love to flow through us, it can vanquish our fears and supplant them with courage and boldness and love, supernatural outreaching love. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And earlier in this epistle, he talks about the idea of how can you say you love God and yet hate your brother, your sister, the person that you know, made in the image of God. If you can't love the image of God that he's placed here, how can you love him, is basically what he's saying. And so he tells us that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. And manifested, you know, obviously means made elaborate, made into an image, an expression, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want everybody to say that word. One more time, propitiation. Okay, very good. Very nice. Pronunciations are a funny thing. One of our dear men I love in the life of our church, I got him on to caramel frappes, and he likes to call them caramel floppes. And he'll say, Pastor, let's go get a floppe. But here we don't have a floppe, we have propitiation. propitiation from God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of some people. That the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of Americans. What? The world. The whole wide world. All of it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him or her. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. First of all, we see that our love for God, our love for one another, originates with God. The love, now some of us are naturally more loving than others. There's some of you that are more compassionate. There's some of you that are more kind, and you have a heart for people. Some of you love people. You reach out to people. You do things for people. You touch them. You hug them. You kiss them. You know, you have a natural affinity for others. And there's some that are a little bit more staid and standoffish, maybe a little bit sullen, and in their nature, more guarded, you know, more reserved. And it's interesting that what he says here is the love he's talking about doesn't emanate with any of us. You may be the most compassionate, friendly, happy, loving person in this building, naturally, since you were a child, since you were a baby. I've got 6 grandkids, and they vary on the scale. And some are just really in there for hugs. In fact, I'll feel them before I even know they're around, because they'll run up and grab your legs, you know, from behind or whatever, and give you a hug. And then there's others that are just, you got to kind of cajole them and talk to them and that sort of thing. But it doesn't matter what you are naturally. God says that he wants to shed abroad in all of us and emanate his love. He wants that love to be in our life. It says in Romans chapter 5, I'm going to begin in verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God poured out by the Holy Spirit given to us. Now, I've experienced that, and I know many of you have in your lives, where sometimes you've been around unlovely people. Maybe they've been mean to you, or worse. And God says, I want to use the agency of the third person of the Trinity, my Holy Spirit, to pour out my love through you. And it's exciting when you sense that supernatural love for someone that's unlovely, especially. And you think, I know God's doing this because I can't stand that person. I know God's doing it. I mean, there's been times, I'm a pastor, I love Jesus, I've been witnessing fervently most of my life. There's been a few times I wanted to poke somebody right in the nose. And before I was saved, I had a little bit of experience in that. But the love of God replaces that. And Scripture, he says, pastors and church leaders, godly people are not to be strikers. You're not to be hitting people. You were to turn the other cheek. But he didn't say anything about after the first cheek. So sometimes they may be on their own. But God says, I want to shed my love abroad in you and through you. He wants to use us as a conduit here in this world, a vehicle. Here he is seated on his throne in heaven in his main manifestation. Although he's omnipresent and omniscient, and his knowledge and his presence covers the universe in a spiritual way. But he has a location, he has a loci where he is seated on the throne, and he's there. So right now here on earth, he wants to use hundreds of millions of us to express his love to this planet while we're here. It's a temporary time. Stuart Borden loved this planet for a long time, and God used him. He's one of our Sunday school teachers. He helped us do a bunch of things through the years, serving, faithful. He and Nancy here pretty much every time the doors were open, if they were healthy. And God used him as a vehicle of his love. And now he's graduated. About a week or so now, he's been in heaven. And he's perfect. And he's still alive. He's more alive than he was here. No pain, no sorrow, but an expression of God's love. And so he says, I want to shed abroad my love through you and by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Number two, our love for one another emanates from God's nature. My favorite illustration of this is Richard Wurmbrand, the great Romanian pastor who wrote the book Tortured for Christ and started a great ministry to reach those who were being persecuted and martyred all over the world. When he was a Romanian pastor and the communists had him and they falsely imprisoned him, they would torture him. He talks about that in his book. Many different ways they tortured him. They got it down to a science. They would freeze him to within minutes of death and then thaw him out. They knew exactly how far a person could go by their body weight and other things, and then thaw him out. To the point where when he was finally expatriated and came to the United States, he said he would open a refrigerator door, and when the cool air from it hit him, he would start shaking and couldn't get anything out of the fridge. He'd have to close the door and compose himself. They stood him in boxes filled with razor-sharp nails all the way around it. He'd stand for days. He'd get tired, pass out, slump down on the sharp nails, and spring back up. One time, there were three different guards, communist guards, beating him, his face swollen up, double the size, bruises all over him, just pummeling him. And he would look at them through those eyes that were swollen shut and speak through those lips that were blistered and popped and bruised and broken. And he'd look at them and he'd say, Jesus loves you. Finally, one of the guards asked him, they said, well, what's Jesus like? And he said, he's just like me. He's just like me. And when he said that, the Spirit of God filled the cell, and all three of the guards gave their lives to Christ. The love of God emanates from his nature. It's his very nature. He's selfless. He's generous. He's thoughtful. I'd like to share this illustration with you. You can look it up online. It's referred to as the taxi driver and the old lady. I'm going to read it to you. A New York City taxi driver wrote, I arrived at the address and honked the horn. Waited a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride of my shift, I thought about just driving away. But instead, I put the car in park, walked up to the door and knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it in the front. She looked like someone out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There was no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, returned to assist the woman. She took my arm, and we walked slowly toward the curb, and she kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got into the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" "It's not the shortest way," I quickly answered. "Oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued in a soft voice. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she had asked me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring in the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building like a small convalescent home with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk, took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" She reached into her purse. "Nothing." "You have to make a living," she said. "There's going to be other passengers." Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of the day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I'd refused to take the runner, had honked once and driven away? On a quick review, I don't think that I've done anything more important in my entire life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. I hope that spoke to you like it spoke to me about our lives as we get older and we take things for granted. And thinking about this dear woman rehearsing her life, riding around the last 2 hours, and then as the door closed on the convalescent home, him noting the closing of a life. We see the love and generosity and kindness of Christ in this action. And God wants the same from us. He wants us to extend that love to others as well. He wants us to be selfless and generous. He wants us to be thoughtful and kind to others around us. Number three, our love from God was manifested through the gospel. If you'll look in verses 9 and 10 of our passage, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. First of all, we see that the only begotten Son was sent into the world. He came down here for us. He got down into the pain and sorrow and suffering of this world because of his love for us. And that is a big part, the initial part of the gospel, the incarnation of Christ, that Christ came, that he came here, that he became one of us. I've studied world religions. I've studied cults of the world. There's nothing like this anywhere else in the world. God Almighty coming into flesh, the only begotten Son coming here among us. Then we see also the Son was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. That fancy word means satisfaction. Jesus satisfies all the requirements of God. All of them. All of them. Jesus requires it, and Jesus satisfies it. He is the fulfillment. On the cross of Calvary, his final words, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. And we see this gospel, this great gospel of Christ that he's given us. How faithful are you? How proud of you are you of what God's done for us? Are you willing to share with others? It's interesting, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest evangelical denomination in the nation with 14.5 million members, 46,000 congregations. Our definition of an active witness for Christ is a person who intentionally tries to share Jesus once a year with someone. And that is a small minority within our denomination. Once a year. The greatest news never told. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see next that God's love is perfected in us as he abides in us. Look, beginning in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. The longer I live, the more I see in my own life my own selfishness. The longer I live in my life, the more astounded I am by the sudden, amazing love of God, the grace of God, when he expresses it in our lives. He wants us to love each other dearly. He wants us to manifest that love. He wants us to perfect that love in our life, to mature that love. We're in still a new year, the beginnings of a new year. Let me give you another goal for this year. Most of them you've broken already anyway. I'm waiting for we're right into it now, the sixth week of the year, so I can go to the gym and there won't be as many people there. Why don't you this year set a goal to perfect the love of God in your life? Why don't you think about it the same way you'll plan for a vacation or plan your day or your week, your activities around your home, repairs for the home, other things, why don't you make a plan to perfect the love of God in your life this year? Think about it. Think about how you come across to others. If you're men, think about the way you treat your wives. I played golf Saturday with three of our men. All three of them have lost their wives in the last 2 years. I'm amazed right now in the life of our church how many of the women are dying before the men. Normally, it's the other way around. How are you treating your wives? How do you love them? What's life like for them living with you? That's an interesting question. When my mother was dying in Memphis 6 years ago, I was riding with Dad to Le Bonheur Hospital, and he said, "Daryl, you want to know how not to miss them?" And he was grieving. In fact, we believe he almost had an emotional breakdown. He said, "You want to know how not to miss them?" And I said, "Well, I guess." He said, "Cuss them out. Treat them mean. Don't be grateful for anything they do. Argue with them about everything and be constantly in a state of contention with them. And then when they die, you won't miss them." But he said, "Who can do that? I loved Virginia. My mother was Irish, and Dad had some Irish and Cherokee Indian and other things. I did have a family in our church say, 'Do you know why you have Irish and Indian both in your background?' And I'm not Pocahontas. I can take a blood test. My great-grandmother on my dad's side was full Cherokee. You know why the Cherokees and the Irish are in your background? Because the only people that marry the Irish back then were the Indians. That's what some Irish people told me in the life of our church. I did not know that. But Dad said, if you love them, it's going to tear you up. I hope and pray every man here will say, I want to love my wife more than any man's ever loved his wife before. I want to be grateful for her. I want to think of new ways to express my love to her. You think they're nagging you when they say that shirt you're wearing when you're leaving the house is ugly? No, they care about what you look like. Love them, wives. The commandment's given in the job role for the husband to love the wife, but love your husbands. Most of you naturally do anyway, in spite of it all. Love your husbands. Love your children. Don't take one day for granted. Not a single day. There's not anybody I've talked to that's lost loved ones recently that didn't say, even though they were ill, even though they were told it was terminal, it still took them by surprise. Perfect this love. Reflect this love to those around you. Number five, and finally, God's love is demonstrated as we bear witness to the gospel of His Son. Why do I share Jesus with people? I don't do it so I'll have illustrations to tell you on Sunday. I don't do it to brag. I do it because I love people. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of times I witness to people that I don't really want to. I'm tired. I'm in a hurry. I've got something else I've got to do. And Jesus will whisper in that still small voice to my heart, "Don't you love them? Don't you love them? Yes, Lord." They'll do something nice for me. Maybe I'm out in the public and there's some act of service that some service industry person does. And I'll think, "That's sweet. I appreciate that. I'm glad they did that. I got to go." And the Lord will say, "Do you want to leave it at that? Let's love them." I'd like for our little fellowship, our congregation, to be known as the most loving church in Martin County. From the love of Christ, from the Spirit of God. We already are recognized many times when we visit people. They'll say there's a great affinity here. There's a great love here. There's a great fellowship. I'd like for that to increase exponentially. The love of God. Connecting lost people to Jesus. It's evangelism, and we're going to do it with love. I'd like for us to say our little statement again together, if you would, on the count of three. Connecting. Amen. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you and praise you so much for the love you shed abroad in our hearts, for each other, for you. Oh, please, dear God, just seize control of us. Replace our anxieties, replace our fears, replace our bitterness with your love. Take control of us. If you don't know Christ, you cannot express the love of God. You can't. You can't do that until He indwells you, until His Spirit lives in you, until His Spirit is there to produce that love. The way you do that is you've got to admit you're really a sinner, that you've really done things wrong, that you've gotten it wrong, that you've broken God's laws. You've got to admit it to Him. You've got to recognize it. You've got to acknowledge it, that you have a need, that you're not good enough. Don't be satisfied with your own righteousness. God's not. You've got to yield all that to Him and confess it to Him and say, Lord, please, please forgive me and cleanse me, a sinner, a lawbreaker, one who's done things wrong. Please, Lord, I desperately need your help. I need your cleansing. I need your forgiveness. Take control of me and live through me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand now and sing, and we do rejoice when you make decisions for Christ, any of you. I know God's speaking to somebody's heart. We want you to obey Him and do what He asks you to do, and we want to rejoice with you. The reason we extend these public invitations is to give you an opportunity to obey God and to give us an opportunity to encourage you in it, to love you in it. And our people are loving. They'll come forward. They'll reinforce your decisions for Christ. And so we want to ask you to do business with God, however He's speaking to your heart. Maybe He's speaking to you about giving your life to Him. Maybe you still haven't done that yet. Maybe He's speaking to you about obeying Him in believer's baptism. Maybe He wants you to be a part of this family, this fellowship, this body of believers. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. However He's speaking to your heart this morning, you do business with God. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. Please be seated. I've got a treat for you today. Last week, you know, we had our Valentine banquet, and one of my dear friends from years ago went to college with him from Memphis. We were saved about the same time. I had not had acquaintance with him for 20 years. He was in Kim and I's wedding. He's one of our groomsmen. And I pictured him the way I remember him from 20 years ago and then in college. And he shows up, and he's become a motorcycle gang chaplain with some of the roughest motorcycle gang people in Florida. He had on leather. He had on a vest with all these skull and crossbone patches and all this other stuff. He hasn't joined any one of the clubs. He's done 40 funerals for hardcore outlaws and syndicate and all these different, like, Hell's Angels type people. and they're flocking to him for counsel for their marriages, and he's marrying some of them to each other. And, you know, but I was shocked. I mean, I walked by him, and he was standing out by his Harley when I went over to the hotel to say hello and spend time with him. And I went in, I looked all over, I asked him, where is Mackie? You know, I'm looking for Mackie, you know. Well, maybe he went to Target. He said something about going to get something at the store, you know. I go outside, I see the Harley, I see the guy, you know. Have you seen a little guy with glasses come through here? And he pulls his sunglasses down. He says, Daryl, it's me, Mackie. I freaked out, you know. So he came and he had his vest on. He spoke at our banquet. It's one of the most unusual speakers we've ever had. And so I started talking to him. Kim didn't know I was. And then he asked Kim if she'd like to ride his Harley. And, well, yeah. And so I got in the car with my phone and followed him over the Roosevelt Bridge and back, taping it. So I want to show you some footage of your pastor's wife as a motorcycle mama, okay? The first one is her coming around the corner. They came around the corner of the church when they were leaving. This is that one on Ocean over here in front of the church. Got on the jacket. And now this is coming back over the bridge from Jensen. Grinning ear to ear. Mackie said, Daryl, do you want to drive her? And Kim said, I'm not riding with Daryl. Said, you're highly experienced. I'm not riding with him. So, hey. She had a lot of fun. Did you have a lot of fun? So much fun. Grinning ear to ear. He went 80 coming back. I didn't like that a bit. There's one point where he was showing me how good he was. He took his hands off the wheel and started doing like this off the bars, you know. And Mackie and Kim said she either said to him or thought, you don't love me very much, do you, Mackie, doing that, you know. But praise the Lord for the little blessings he brings us in our life. And it did take a posing picture sitting on it with Kim. She'd sit on it with me if it wasn't cranked. And we put that on Facebook, and we started immediately getting calls. Shay, our daughter, called. Did Dad drive you around on a Harley? You know, Mother, you're very brave, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But we have a lot of fun.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Daryl asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Hello, I'm Nick Bennett, pastor to senior adults here at the First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. Our ministry is based on 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our ministry presents monthly covered dish lunches for our seniors at 12 noon on the second Tuesday of each month, seasonal one-day trips to historic sites and events in Florida, evangelism opportunities through our nursing home ministry featuring our good news singers, terrific Thursdays in the month of June, renewing body, soul, and spirit, volunteer outreach to our community through our citywide Easter Fair and November Feast of Plenty, and every Sunday, Bible study at 9 a.m. and worship at 10:15, and then on Wednesday evening, prayer and worship at 6 o'clock p.m. For more information, call First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida at 772-287-7422.
Hi, my name is Dara Pearson. I've been a member of First Baptist Stuart for 30 years. My husband and I have three grown children. Our family has had the privilege of serving the Lord here at First Baptist Stuart for many years. Currently, one of the ministries that I've been serving the Lord in is the MOPS program, which is Moms of Preschoolers, and Moms Next, which is Moms of Elementary Age Children. This program is perfect for moms of young children to come and gather together with other moms. During this time together, these mothers find support, guidance, and fellowship. We meet on selected Wednesdays once a month at First Baptist Stuart from 6 o'clock to 7:15. Child care is provided with activities during Wednesday night programs, such as Awana. We have a time of discussion about parenting children from a godly view, a fun craft, and snack. If you are a mom of young children, please come join us. Search for Stuart Mops on Facebook. We'd love to see you.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.